Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
If you would, in your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll preach our theme verse. Again, we'll preach this in the future, but last time as far as being a part of our theme verse. And very appropriate for the new year, first Sunday morning back. We'll address and present the new theme tonight. I'm looking forward to doing that. I hope you'll be here tonight to receive the calendar and daily Bible reading schedule if you haven't started that yet. So I hope you'll be back tonight. This morning, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're actually going to cover the whole chapter. So if you guys would just pack a lunch. Did everybody bring your lunch with you? And we're just going to take a little time here. No, we are going to cover the chapter. So review is the best teacher. We're going to go through, give you an outline for the entire chapter, and then stress the importance of the last few points. Okay? So look with me in verse 1. I'm going to read the entire chapter, so everybody just hang with me. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now if Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the word. Lord, as we approach a new year, may we be instructed this morning by your word. And God, may we listen. May we apply, may we continue in the faith. Lord, may you give courage and just boldness to us as we approach the new year. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, of course, writing to young Timothy, or younger than him, Timothy, his protege, his trainee, his understudy, if you would, to strengthen his resolve. I've repeated this several times that we've preached these messages over the last year. No longer is Paul under house arrest, but he's in prison. No longer chained to a Roman guard in his house and still having visitors back and forth. And no, he's in a pit with rat infested, dark, and that there he has been sentenced to death by Nero, the emperor of Rome. Soon he will die. So he writes to Timothy his last will and testament. He writes to Timothy to encourage him, to strengthen his resolve. He writes to him the importance concerning the last days, the days before Christ will return. Can I just tell you this morning, we're living in those last days. We believe, and the Bible teaches, in the imminent return of Christ. In other words, We know and we believe that all the Old Testament prophecies that need to be fulfilled in order for Christ to return have been fulfilled. The last big one being the resurgence of Israel and Israel becoming its own nation once again. Amen. What's a big deal? And we continue to see Israel as a focus of the entire world. How does a little country, smaller than the country of, smaller than the state of New Jersey, how does that country become the center focus of the entire world? Well, it's in prophecy. We're living in it. We're living in the prophetical times. We're living in times in which the prophets spoke about. We're living in the last days. And here Paul is just telling Timothy, hey, listen, the last days are coming. And here are some indications of the last day. Here are some indications or descriptions that you're living in the last day. Signs of the last days. See, number one, that perilous times shall come. And he gives a big long list there. These perilous or these wicked and dangerous, these rebellious times, these selfish times, the word means. Or it means wild or difficult times. We're living in that day. Luke 17, 26 through 30 speaks about such times as Noah in his day, and as Lot in his day, that those the signs of the Christ returning will be again those times. As in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Speaking of his second return, I understand that. But those indications and signs will happen before the rapture as well. We're living in those times. Have I said that yet? How do I know that? How do I know I'm living the last days? Well, the Bible describes it for you. Paul says, in the last days, men will be lovers of their own selves. I'm not going to repeat the words here in the scripture. I'm going to give you just some more descriptive words. So just listen closely. Mankind in the last days will be selfish. Lovers of stuff. Inflated egos. All you got to do is watch the NFL. I used to be a huge fan, used to watch a lot of that. But I can't hardly stand it for the pre-bananas. It's unbelievable. Inflated egos, haughty, arrogance, speaking evil of God and sacred things. We see that today. Even our politicians doing that today. The breakdown of parental authority. Ungrateful. In other words, a lack of thankfulness towards others and God. Wickedness. Adults abandoning their kids without natural affection has more to do with abortion and those type of things. Abandoning their children. Parents walking away from their kids. Wickedness. Lying, slandering, deceitfulness. A lack of self-control. When have you ever seen a time in which people have a lack of self-control? Not able to control themselves. Savage. Wild. Untrustworthy, reckless, rash, I like this one, rude, disrespectful. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Let me describe that one a little bit. The entertainment industry has taken over the world. And people have just eat it up. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Go to a football game and not go to church. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I'm just telling you, I enjoy vacation, and you guys know that I do. I take time, and we all ought to take time off. But taking a vacation and taking time off will not solve your problem. People drink to try to get away from their problems, but it doesn't ever solve their problems. Only Jesus can solve all your problems. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Also describing those I want to point this out because we pointed it out a few weeks ago. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. So speaking about mankind, in the last days, mankind, men, women, boys and girls, will do what is described here. But here in this last statement, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of, from such turn away. It's speaking to Christians. What Paul is saying to Timothy is, not only will this be a part of the general overall description of humanity, but also the general description of Christians as well, who profess to be Christians, in other words. You walk into churches and this list will be predominant in amongst Christian people, among church people. And we see that today. In a majority of churches, this list would be very evident and very descriptive of not only the unbeliever, but also of the believers. Can you imagine Paul saying to Timothy, listen, in the last days, believers are going to act this way. Be aware of it. Be conscious of it. In the last days, this is going to happen. I defined that for you last Sunday morning. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, verse 5. It's an outward semblance of reverence and devotedness to the things of God, but renouncing and casting off the power it brings by their hypocritical lives. Somebody who professes to be a Christian but doesn't live it, and therefore has no power because of it. Again, what you do does not make you spiritual. But what you do puts you in a position for the Holy Spirit to make you spiritual. And so therefore, if you are not living the Christian life at home as you pretend to be when you come to church, then you will lose the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You'll have no power in your life. So the Holy Spirit was given to you at salvation to empower you, to enable you to live the Christian life, to enable you to live a righteous life, to enable you to live a glorified life for the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, if you do all those things, it's a better life for you. It's not like God said, all right, don't do this, do this, don't do that, do this, so that you can have no fun and can't do it. No. God set these rules up so and the do's and don'ts so that you can have a better life. He did those things for your good. He cares for you. If you live a life that glorifies God, that life will not only glorify God, but it will be better for you. You will enjoy life more. I know I repeat it so much, but I do it on purpose. Life was not meant to be endured. It was meant to be enjoyed. And if you're not enjoying life, it's probably because you're not walking with the Lord. Hang on, let me rephrase that. If you're not enjoying life, you're probably not walking with the Lord. You're not walking with the man. So, Paul said, here's the description of the end times, of the people of the end times. From such, turn away. In other words, inspect yourself. Inspect yourself. Or do these describe you? And we talked about how that, yes, many times the things on this list many times do describe us. If you say they don't, then you're probably the one with the problem. Amen. I'm a sinner, saved by grace, but I ought to be aware of the problem. I ought to be introspective many times and ask the Holy Spirit to forgive me and turn from these things. All right, then in verse 6 through 9, we have the seducing teachers, worming their way and tricking their way. And picking their targets. In other words, it says silly women there. It's picking the easiest targets they can find to deceive and to seduce. And we see that today, don't we? We see that through the cults and through the occult. And we see that through televangelism. If you watch some of the TV evangelists, you just see absolutely the deception and the trickery and the biblical ignorance. And we talked about how that the Bible here is indicating that some of these people who are teaching these things have been teaching them, and they believe them. They believe them. It's not like they're teaching them and truly in their own minds being deceptive per se. Now, some of them are that way, probably maybe even the majority. But a lot of them believe what they're teaching. It's unbelievable. And people are listening. Some of these preachers who say, you give God 1,000, God will give you 10,000. Send me money. You know, put your hand on the TV oh my goodness. And good people are being deceived. Joining groups that believe that Jesus Christ was the brother of Satan. Good people. I'm talking about Mormons. Good people. Good people join that group. A cult. Just being deceived, and the people teaching it are deceived as well. And I'll use that scripture here in a minute. In fact, I'll go ahead and read it. Verse 13 says, but evil seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They're deceived themselves, those teaching, and deceiving those whom they're teaching. Ever teaching but never coming to the truth. They teach, but they never come to the biblical truth. David Koresh. Those, you think about others. This is a signs of the last days. Ministers of Satan. The Bible says they'll be exposed, and many of them are being exposed today. But many times in their exposure, it's hurting the overall Christendom. And then we come to the continue. Verse 10. We are to continue in these last days. Christians, we're to continue in these last days. We're to hold the faith. We're to stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. Verse 10 says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Paul goes through it and says, listen, you've fully known my doctrine. You know what I've taught. So basically he's saying here, continue because of the, I'm going to use the word, or the phrase, inspired by Paul's example. Paul gives it. He says, but thou hast fully known my teachings, my doctrine, my manner of life, how I live, my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, kind of the opposite of the list above, right? That's how we ought to be as Christians. The persecution, the affliction which I came unto me, the persecution that I endured, but out of these the Lord delivered me. And yea, that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And what he's saying here, he continued to continue in spite of the trials, continue in spite of the persecution. He said, you've seen me go through it. You heard what I taught. That to continue in spite of the deception. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We live in that day. It's going to get worse. Evil seducers about, lying. By the way, all these false prophets, these false teachers are doing nothing but preparing for the Antichrist. They're preparing the world for the Antichrist. The evil one who will come. He may be alive today. I mean, I believe we're that close. And I believe it could be today that Jesus returns and the Antichrist steps out on the world scene and his false prophet, and here we go. And all of these things are preparing for that. All the description we just described, the evil and the seducers and all these things are preparing the world for the stage of the Antichrist. It's coming. And Paul says, continue, Timothy, in the faith. Verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and be assured of knowing whom thou hast learned them. Timothy, continue. Continue. You've seen me, he said. You've seen my manner of life. You've seen my conversation. You've seen me teach. You've been under my influence now for years, and you've heard all these things. You've seen how God has bore me up under persecution. You've seen the false teachers and the seducers. Timothy, continue. Continue, Timothy. Go forward. Go forward in the things that thou hast learned. Take the truth that you have learned and continue. As Paul taught him the word of God. As Timothy took the word of God. Continue in those things. It says, continue in those things which thou hast learned and been assured of. That word assured of means certain. It means certain. Can I tell you, as Christians, you ought to know the what and the why? And we ought to be careful. I don't know how this happened years and years ago, especially sometimes in the Baptist faith, but it kind of came down to many times, well, that's what the preacher said. Be careful about ever saying that. That ought to be what the Bible says. Right? Parents, when you're telling your kid to do something and you do this and they ask why, there's an appropriate time, by the way, for a kid to ask why. But there should be a time where they can ask why. Parents, there should be a time when they can ask why. It's important they know the why. Hello? I think there was a time when parents raised their children in a way that don't ever question daddy and mama. Well, that's, rules without reason produce rebellion. By the way, rules without reasons and a relationship produce rebellion. So they ought to know why. So again, as Christians, we ought to know what and we ought to know why. We ought to know the whys. You ought to know what you believe and why you believe it. Amen? And so that's what he's saying. The things that thou hast learned of me and are certain of. He says that you're certain of. There's some things I'm certain of. I'm certain that Jesus is returning. I'm certain that Jesus Christ is born of a virgin. I am certain that Jesus Christ was God-man. I am certain that Jesus Christ was the primary agent in the creation of the world, the universe. I am certain that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I'm certain that he rose again. I'm certain he's coming back again. I'm certain of those things. There's no question in my mind about it at all. Not one. Not a single question. Because the Bible tells me so. I'm certain that this is God's word. I'm certain of that. I don't hope it is. I don't think it is. I'm certain of it. This is God's word to mankind. What assurance that brings. Because if you are certain of the things which you have learned, and they come from the scripture, then you can continue. Hang on, let's put it another way. You should continue. Amen? If you know this is an authority above man, if you know this authority is greater than mankind's authority, then you can continue when things get rough. When the politicians try to, you know, meander around and finagle and do away with morality and all these things that were in place because our country was founded upon Judeo-Christian ethics and the Judeo-Christian law. But when they start messing with it, you can stand certain that this is the word of God and that its do's and don'ts are certain. Amen? You can continue in spite, listen, teenager, you can continue in spite of a science teacher in college telling you that, creation is a fairy tale, that God really didn't create all things, that it happened through an evolutionary process. See, you can continue if you know this is certain and what the teacher says isn't. Hello? It's simple for me. And every Christian ought to be that simple. It really should be. It ought to be that simple. What does the Bible say? And I love how it goes on in verses 15. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So he says, not only should you continue because you know for certain these things, but listen, remember, and because of my example, but you should continue because your mother and your grandmother taught you these things. So I'm not saying that you can't say that the preacher said or that your mom and dad said this. I'm just saying it should be a part of your reason for continuing, not the main reason. Hello? Amen. But listen, teenager, it shouldn't be set aside. What your mom and dad taught you should not be set aside. Hello? A lot of young people have done that. Maybe some of you have done that. And then you get to about 25 and you figure out, oh, dad did know what he was talking about, right? But in this context, we're talking about the scriptures. We're talking about biblical truth, not setting those things aside. Why is this generation and the generation before this, they have so easily set many biblical truths aside? I met a man yesterday who said, well, I just don't believe in the Trinity. Really? It's found in the Bible. I don't understand the Trinity fully, but I do believe in it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Bible says these three are one. Well, how could three be one, preacher? I don't know. I can give you illustrations like H2O, and I can give you illustrations like the egg, and there's many illustrations to illustrate it with, but to just believe it, because the Bible says it. Amen. That's just it. The Bible says it. I believe it. That's it. Now, I know the Bible says it. That settles it. But, man, I believe it. It's certain. Don't give up the things you've been taught. Don't give up the sacred music so easily. I'm going to get some practical stuff. Teenagers, don't give it up so easily. Don't give up the hymns so easily. Don't give up the King James Bible so easily. I believe the King James Bible is the inspired and errant word of God for the English-speaking language. I believe it is the best translation. You'll say, preacher, that's 500 years old. There's lots of new translations. I understand that. There's a lot of them, too, that got a lot of mistakes in them. I'm just going to stay with the old book. Don't give up those things so easily. Amen? And some modernist comes and starts speaking in your ear and says, you know what? Jesus really wasn't born of a virgin. Don't give up the truths. Amen. Paul says, continue. Remember what you were taught by your grandmother and mother. Remember my example. And then, just to kind of put the icing on the tape, he says this, all scripture, not just the New Testament, but Old and New Testament. By the way, the word scripture there is speaking, it means the written word. All scripture. So he's not talking about the Apocrypha and some, book of Isaiah nobody's ever heard of, the second, third book of Isaiah or whatever. No, all scripture, the written word that we have, is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration, it means God breathed. God's breath. The Greek word, which was really cool, because this will be very nice for guys. The Greek word is like theopneumatic almost. It has the word new, like a pneumatic tool. How many of y'all know what a pneumatic tool is? It's a tool run by air, right? Oh, those are so fun to hear. You hear them at Brother Kevin Davis, you hear them at his tire shop. Zoom, 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 right? Love to hear that. Pneumatic tool. So the word is theos, which means God. And then the word that pneumatic, means breathe or breath. And just like when you punch that pneumatic tool, that grinder or whatever you're using, and that air comes into that grinder and forces it and gives it the power, so does Jesus Christ, God, breathe into the Word of God, and it is powerful. Just as He breathed into Adam when He formed him out of the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the Bible describes that as what God did to the Bible. It's the breath of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable. That word profitable means, I'll use that word last. It means applicable. The code word today that everybody uses, which is good, is relevant. Probably the best word is practical. Practical. It's profitable. It's practical to you. It will help you. In what? It's profitable for doctrine, which the word doctrine means teaching. It means what's right. I'm going to give you the simplest outline that we've been given forever. Still the best outline. What is right? It's profitable to tell you what is right. What is right? Well, that's the do's in the Bible. Did you understand there's not just don'ts in the Bible, there are also do's in the Bible? Do this, do that. Right? You know this Bible tells you how you can have a good marriage? If you'll do this, right? Husbands, if you'll love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wife will submit to her husband and so forth. Tells you how to do it. You know this Bible tells you how to run your finances and how to do those. If you'll do them, God will bless it. You know this Bible tells you how to raise these children. Tells you how to raise them. And if you'll do it God's way, God will bless it. Amen. There are a lot of do's in the Bible. Things he asks us to do, to be witnesses and all these. And I could just go on and on with a list there. But it tells us what's right. To love others and to love our enemies and on and on and on. And if we'll do those things, God will bless you. Teaches us what is right. Not only is it profitable for doctrine, but it's profitable for reproof. For reproof. That is what's not right. Well, there's some don'ts in the Bible. Don't do this. Don't kill. Which that word means don't murder. Don't murder. Don't steal. Right? Don't bear false witness against thy neighbor. Keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And on. We could go on and on through the Ten Commandments and many other things in the Bible that says we shouldn't do. Don't drink. Don't chew. Don't go with girls that do. Amen? There's lots of don'ts in the Bible. All those things are put there, the Bible says, for our good. God always has our best interests in mind. And whether it's the things we should do or the things we shouldn't do, those lists or those things that God has put in His Word are there for our good. To help us live a life that's not only pleasing to Him, but is better for us. That is worthwhile for us. And then for correction, how to get right. How to get right. Listen, this morning, I hope that you're saved. I hope you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. I hope there's a point in your life when you can look back and say, yes, in my pastor's office when I was 6 years old, I knelt there and I believe that I repented of my sins and I believe that Jesus Christ lived, He died and He rose again, and I trusted Him as my only means of salvation. I hope there's been a day when you've done that. Do you know you're saved this morning? Because the only way to really truly get right is to get saved. And Christian, to get right, He says, if you confess your sins, He will forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from some unrighteousness. No, all unrighteousness. John there speaking to Christians. How to get right. And then instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. But that's a simple outline, isn't it? What's right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. That's what the Bible practically does for us. That's what the Bible is profitable for. It's our guide for life. It's the best guide for life. You say, well, how do I get right? How do I stay right? Walk with God. Just follow in Jesus' steps. Live as He would live. Do as He would do. Don't do what He wouldn't do. Just follow Jesus. Walk with Jesus every day. Walk with Him every day. Walk and talk with Him every day. And life will be worth living. Life will be joy. Jesus said, I came to give life and give life more abundant. You want a joyful, abundant life? Walk with Jesus. Follow in His steps. The greatest thing you can do this new year is to continue. Because it's the Word of God, verse 17, that makes you complete. That word perfect there means complete. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Complete. In other words, it's the Bible that furnished us all that we need in this life. It's the Word of God that furnishes us all the information we need to live out this life. To live a complete life. Are you living a complete life? If you want to live a complete life, follow this. Follow the Bible. What a life it is. Paul to young Timothy. Continue. Continue in these uncertain times. Can I challenge you this morning in this new year to continue? Continue in these uncertain times, these last days. Don't quit. Don't give up. There's going to be dark days ahead. Things come into our lives. Trials come. Trials go. Just continue. Follow Paul's example. He went through trials. He was persecuted. Just continue. All those in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. All those who live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. You live right. You try to do right. People are going to ridicule you. People are going to make fun of you. That's the day and age which we live in. Continue, he said. Being certain of the truth. I'm certain. Are you? Church, are you certain? Amen. Are we certain? Amen. Some of you are certain. I'm certain the Bible is true. I'm just going to live by it. I'm just going to walk with it. I'm just going to stay by it. I'm just going to stand fast in the faith. I stand firm in the faith. I'm just going to stay with it. Are you? That's what he was telling Timothy. Timothy, I'm about to die. Timothy, I'm about to lose my life. And Timothy, I want to encourage you to continue in the things that you've been taught of me. Timothy, continue in the things you were taught by your parents. Timothy, continue in what the Bible says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Continue. Trust it. Love it. Hold on to it. Just continue in the faith. Let's all stand. I'm thankful the Bible is just as applicable and practical today as it was 2,000 years ago. And you can live your life by this precious guide, by this wonderful guide. And you'll be much better off than the world out there. I'm just speaking practically. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. The greatest decision you'll ever make is to come to this altar, get with one of our counselors, and they'll show you from the Bible how you can know that your sins can be forgiven and how you can have a home in heaven. How you can have eternal life. I hope that you make that decision today. Great time. Here at the verse of the year, Come and make that decision today. Maybe you've been putting that decision off. Today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. Christian, this morning, continue. Young people, school starts back tomorrow. Next day, continue. Going back to college, guys, ladies. A lot of influence there. Just continue in the faith. Don't quit. B, don't quit. Amen? TC, don't quit. Right? Tristan, don't quit. Just hold on to the Bible. Trust the Bible. Pulling a few of our young people out. Don't quit. Continue in the faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your love and your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you that you've given us instructions on how we might live a life that is abundant and joyful. Lord, may we follow that example. May we follow the example of Paul. May we remember what our parents have taught us. And God, may we follow the Scripture. We'll thank you in Jesus' name.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.